Hi, my name is Duncan, and we are the Fantasy Football Fanatics. I'm joined by Matt in London this week, Ben in LA, and Andy in San Fran. Matt, what was your football highlight of game week 32 so far?
My football highlight was watching the highlights of the Crystal Palace Huddersfield game, because I mean, we just watched the Liverpool Spurs game, and often those games are a bit like watching a PlayStation game because everyone does the right thing and there's lots of good technique and they slot it home. But Crystal Palace Huddersfield reminded you that they actually are human beings and play the same sport that we used to play when we were kicking it about, because the finishing was just absolutely comically bad. My favourite one being, I think it's, was it Callum Grant or Caleb Grant for Huddersfield, attempting a chip and just passing it off the field for like a throw-in slash corner. It reminded me an awful lot of what I always used to attempt the chip every single time, but it would often go horribly wrong just like that. So it made me feel like I could be a Premiership football player.
That's nice. You're making me think of my technique when we used to play five-a-side together in London. I used to try and flick the ball over my head every single time and fail every single time.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a special move, just like
A
Duncan's
move.
way of losing possession.
Moving swiftly on, Andy, what's your football highlight?
Mine is an article that I read this week on planetfootball.com. It was an article about footballers who hated each other, which was I clicked on it because it had Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham and their famous feud as the headline act. But I read about something that I don't know whether you guys know about this. Do you guys know about the blank page in Stefan Effenberg's autobiography?
No.
No. This is brilliant. It's entitled "Everything Lothar Matthäus Knows About Football." Which would be a bit like that. So I'd thoroughly recommend reading that article. It's very funny. That was my favourite bit.
Nice one. Who else is featured?
Who else is featured? That's a great question. That was my highlight. Like I hadn't I didn't, like bring more than that. I should check, shouldn't I? Who's on there? But yeah, that's what I remember is reading about Sheringham and Cole and reading about Stefan Effenberg.
Nice one. Ben, how about you? I should say, before you answer, Ben, we are Sunday just after the Liverpool Spurs game. So we're kind of halfway through the double game week, pretty much exactly. What was your highlight so far, Ben?
My highlights were watching England play in the international break. It's kind of strange watching an England team where they play good football and they win. So two back-to-back games where we scored 5 goals. So that was fun to watch. And Callum Hudson-Odoi got his first start. And I was reading and I was watching a video of like highlights of Callum Hudson-Odoi when he was like in school, a teenager. It was just like highlights of Callum Hudson-Odoi like destroying other like school kids. And then I noticed the grounds where he was playing, and I didn't realize this, but he actually went to the same secondary school as us, because I saw our secondary school was called Whitgift, and I saw like the Whitgift logo on his kit. And he was just destroying people. And I was like, oh, that was kind of funny to see. Because I hadn't realized he went to the same school as us. And I don't know if you guys did either.
It was
No,
different
I
times
didn't realize that. Yeah.
from
Well, it's
when we
funny
were at
you
school.
we imagine like that there were loads of stories about how Victor Moses, who also went to our school, used to sort of destroy all comers anywhere near him and scored 6 goals in the cup final once. You think, okay, well, obviously he's on a different planet. And I think Hudson-Odoi seems like he's a better player than Victor Moses. I can only imagine what terror he wrought in defenses.
Yeah, it's funny when you watch.
It
Sorry.
contrasts sharply with my attempts to chip the ball when I was playing for the Wicket first team.
It's funny because when you watch the videos, he's just like dribbling past basically everyone and then just scoring. And he also just looks a lot bigger and more athletic than everyone as well. It's kind of funny.
It's so exciting with that England team, isn't it? With Jadon Sancho and Callum Hudson-Odoi and Sterling in those kind of forward wing positions. And there's other players you can play there as well. Like, it was exciting watching Lingard playing a similar position during the World Cup, but now, there's so many more exciting young talents. So, yeah, great highlight, Ben.
And some good players coming through in the weaker positions as well, like Declan Rice and Phil Foden in midfield as well. It looks like we're actually going to have 11 good players that can be on the pitch at the same time pretty soon.
Hopefully, as long as we can keep hold of Southgate. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
My football highlight this week was the kind of the closing stages of Cardiff-Chelsea. I was watching it hoping for some Chelsea goals, especially from Hazard, because I had him in my team. And I couldn't help but just be so entertained by Neil Warnock as the game slipped away from them and the decisions went against him. There was one point where he was berating Azpilicueta for scoring the goal offside. And Azpilicueta's like, what do you want me to do? I'm supposed to put the ball in the back of the net. I'm not supposed to say, no, guys, I'm offside. It's not like he handballed it in. So that was classic Warnock. And then at the end of the game, he'd been raving for about 5 minutes, and then he walked onto the pitch in front of all the fans and just stared at the referees and didn't go over and berate them, just stood back from them the other side of the centre circle and just stared at them for like 5 minutes on camera. It was really weird, but very, very entertaining. So more of that, please.
Sounds like one of those sort of WWE moments where they sort of stare at each other with a microphone in hand really intensely as though they're about to say something.
Yeah, it was so theatrical. It was bizarre. Like, he was definitely doing it for effect, I think.
It's very childish, but he's like, how old is he now?
Oh. 71?
It's quite amusing that, yeah, he still does these sort of, absolutely throws a tantrum every time.
Yeah, you compare him to Hodgson, it just... You'd have no idea they're a similar age. Should we have a look at how we're doing so far with game week 32? I think, Matt, you're top of the pile. So do you want to talk us through who you put in your team, whether you played any chips and how things are going?
Yeah, so my strategy has been not to do the free hit this week, but last week. And so this week, I'd been building up to it, so I already had over 11 players, which had two game weeks. And so it was more of a case of trying to build for next week, where I've got like an awful lot of players blanking. So I went for Milijevic, which is how you pronounce it, and he did really well this week. He got me that penalty that I was hoping he would get, because Zaha was playing and promptly fell over in the area. It seemed to be the only way Crystal Palace were going to score a goal, because they wouldn't be able to put it in the back of the net in open play. And so that was a good transfer. And then I've got 67 points so far, and that is mostly because I played my triple captain chip this week and put that on Aguero. I was umming and ahhing between Sterling and Aguero, and so far that's come off very well with 10 points, although I think Aguero's injured, so that might be just 10 points and that's it. So... sorry, you were saying, Duncan?
We'll have to wait and see how big an injury it is for Aguero. But still, 15 points isn't bad for a triple captain.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd settle for it. He's got 10-point triple to 30, so that's really good. And then other parts of the team, Edison got me a clean sheet, so I went for Man City defence. Wan-Bissaka got me a clean sheet, and Rashford got a goal. And then other players, and slightly more disappointing side, is Jimenez didn't start, Son didn't start, and Lindelof didn't play at all. So he's got 0 points so far. So pretty good, although slightly disappointing some of my other players didn't get in the first team.
Well, yeah, and sad that Son didn't play and Jimenez and things like that, but still all to play for. And a good score for half your team playing so far, 60.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty pleased. I mean, for once, I've picked the right captain and made the right transfer this week. So I'm pretty pleased.
Nice. Once we've had a quick run through our teams, we're going to have a look at our upcoming chip strategies from now until the end of the season. So we're going to talk about our plans in that section. I think I'm up next with 61 points so far. I played my free hit, so it seems in the FPL community on Twitter, a lot of people are playing their free hits, but amongst us, I'm the only one, and you guys are all playing triple captain, I think. So, looking at the game week, it does look like the best week to play a triple captain rather than a free hit, because because of the City fixtures are so good and Aguero has done so well. I did captain Aguero, which has been good, so kind of limiting the damage so far. Things that have gone well, I had double Crystal Palace defence instead of double Chelsea defence, which I was considering quite strongly. So I'm glad I didn't go double Chelsea. So I had Schlupp and Gaita, who got 9 points, which was good. Of course, I didn't get the key Crystal Palace man, PVA, which is sad, but I did have Laporte. That went well. And Rashford, I just thought I had to cover him, and his price is just so helpful as an enabler in my team. Apart from that, not a lot else happened. Pogba, Sterling, Ashley Young. Ah, the last, I think it was 87 minutes. I think everyone else in our mini league had Lindelof, who didn't play. I put in Ashley Young to kind of get that clean sheet if it came, whilst everyone else would have 0 points. And I thought I was going to get it, and it was just taken away at the last moment. But to be honest, Watford were getting chance after chance after chance. So it was going to come surely at some point. Yeah, apart from that, going all right. If I get another 60 points in the second half of the week, I'll be pretty happy. Next up, I think it's Ben. Ben, do you want to talk us through yours?
Yep, so I got 56 points, and like Matt, I was building for this week, so didn't use my free hit. I used my triple captain on Aguero. I feel like I've been making the wrong captain choices for a long time, and hopefully this one will turn out better than Sterling, but I have to wait and see his injury. I made a couple like small mistakes, I think. So I benched Gaeta for Patricio, mainly because I don't like doubling up on teams that like the smaller teams, just because they can concede at any time. So I did have one Bissaka, so I did get some of the Palace points. And then the other mistake I made was I played Alexander Arnold instead of the troll Pereira. Pereira got 8 points. So I think he got clean sheet and bonus, whereas Alexander only got 2 points. Although he did look pretty threatening going forward, and he's on all set pieces. But so yeah, I'm pretty happy. Like, I got the Rashford points as well. So I'm hoping some of the players that didn't play this weekend will start for the midweek, like Hazard and Son, and hopefully Jimenez in my team as well. So not too bad. 56 points right now is good enough for a green arrow. I think my week probably hinges on whether Aguero starts against Cardiff.
Yeah, I mean, from the look of things, you guys have gone with the build towards 32 with the transfers and then triple captain, and I've gone the other way around. And to be honest, at the moment, it seems much of a muchness. My team, although it might have been better to be a bit more differential, all the teams are quite similar. If I get more points from having more players playing, you guys get more points from triple captain Aguero. So it seems to be working out pretty much equal across this week and blank game week 31.
It's almost like, why did we even bother trying to figure out which... Because they're both exactly the same.
Well, I'll tell you why we bothered is because of my... Should we go on to my game week, which will explain why we bothered?
Yeah.
I don't have Aguero, and as such, I wasn't able to triple captain him. I was pretty hopeful coming into the week because Sterling has been on such good form recently. I didn't think that I would lose much by captaining him instead of Aguero. And especially having Bernardo Silva, who is doing really well this season and actually got 14 points. I felt really good going into the week, but obviously not having Aguero has been a really big differentiator this week, thus far at least, unless Sterling pulls it out of the bag against Cardiff. So my week overall should have gone well, I think, really. I've got clean sheets for Otamendi and Wan-Bissaka, 14 points for Bernardo Silva, and Rashford scored. Although Lukaku didn't play, that would have meant if in a normal game week, I would have had Batshuayi come in, who obviously was a fantastic finisher against Huddersfield. So, I don't know. I feel like that one mistake has really hampered me. If I captained the right person, I'd be on 60-odd points this week, but I'm not. So, fingers crossed for Sterling in the second game. Let's see, if Bernardo Silva scores a hat-trick against Cardiff, I'm going to be so annoyed because I very nearly captained him.
Good pick, though, Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, I was pleased with it because I did when De Bruyne for like the umpteenth time, that whatever the most recent injury was, I was like, okay, well, now's the moment because Bernardo Silva is the one that plays in De Bruyne's position when he's injured. And also, he's playing so well that he'll probably get in on the wing if he's not playing in the midfield. And he's only 7.5 million. So I was pleased with the pick. That's come off. It's just it's come off at the expense of Sterling, who was my triple captain.
Should we have a look at our chip strategy from now until the end of the season? Now we've had a look at game week 32. Before we do, I think we're going to go for a quick break, but we'll be back soon. Okay, we're back and we're talking chips from now until the end of the season. Matt, what are you thinking? How is your team set up?
So chips that I've got left now is I've got a wild card to and I've got the bench boost left. So my thinking is I've got game week 33 with very few players, but I'm just going to try and ride that one out and survive that because I want to get on the double game week for game week 35. So I'll probably be wild carding in 34 and then playing a bench boost in 35, which I think could be quite similar to a number of people playing the bench boost in 35. So my one hope is that there's enough variety in there that I can catch rivals and sort of still move up the rankings. But I can imagine over the next few weeks that teams might get more and more similar.
And I'm guessing when you say you're going to wild card in 34, you're going to take into account the double game week fixtures that are actually in 34 as well, because Brighton play a double with great fixtures, Bournemouth at home and Cardiff at home, and Cardiff play a double with Burnley away and Brighton away. So is that something you are thinking about?
A bit. I mean, I've already got Duffy in my team at the moment. He's not done much yet, but they're not great teams, so it's a difficult one. I think I'll like have a little nod to it in my 34 team, but I'm not going to go like all in with three Cardiff and three Brighton players, because I think that just then ruins the rest of my the remaining game weeks as I try and ship those players out for like decent players.
I think that's fair enough. Yeah. And Ben, how about you? What's your strategy? Is it the same as Matt, pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much the same. So wildcard 34, bench boost 35. Maybe one Brighton player, probably defender. Watford have a good double in 35. So Huddersfield and Southampton. And then Arsenal look like they have a good double with Crystal Palace Wolves. But I'll probably also choose players where the run-in after that is also good. So Watford, definitely one of those teams, and Arsenal as well have really good fixtures till the end. And then I think I'm going to try and choose players where the team still have like something to fight for. So I think I definitely will have some Liverpool players, even though they don't have a double, just because they're in the title race and they have good fixtures. So Cardiff, Huddersfield, Newcastle, Wolves. I think the tricky one for me is probably Man United, because the double is Everton, Man City, and then we have Chelsea afterwards. So I'm not sure how many Man U players to get, maybe just one or two. But yeah, I think for my bench boost in 35, I definitely will have, I think, some Liverpool players, even though they only have the single game, just so it doesn't mess up my team for the rest of the season.
It's tricky as well, because a lot of those fixtures, like you're saying, aren't brilliant. A lot of those double game week fixtures, like you said, it's pretty much just Watford that have a good one and Arsenal that have a pretty good one. But apart from that, yeah, slim picking. So fair enough to pick the single game week players. Andy, how about you?
I only have one chip remaining, which is the bench boost. But it's an interesting one because I kind of feel like I'm unlikely to have an entire team and bench full of double game week players. And so saving the bench boost for week 35, which seems like the obvious play, I'm not sure whether I'm actually going to do that. What I might do, which I haven't done yet, is look through, try and find a week where my players have a bunch of easy fixtures, because like playing a bench boost just because it's double game week when my bench players have really difficult fixtures is going to be disadvantageous compared to a game week where my bench all has easy games. So I think that's what I'm going to be looking for. My bench generally, at the moment, my bench consists of Batshuayi, Jota, and either Doherty or Matip. So, and then pretty the strong goalkeeper would be Dubravka. So I might do that, or I might, if I don't do the research in time, I'll just play on game week 35 like everyone else.
That's a really strong bench you've got.
Well, yeah, my team should be good, I'm telling you. I don't know why it isn't.
Maybe your bench is too strong. Maybe that's the problem. But, yeah, I think it sounds like a sound strategy, finding which of those fixtures suit those players and then picking it. It'll be a big differential some other week. So I think that's a good plan.
Andy, I notice you've got like a load of players that have the doubles in game week 35. So how are you going to ride out 33? Are you going to try and sub some of them out and then sub them back in? Or just without that wild card?
Well, yeah, obviously, my original plan was to wild card now, but my team was awful a few weeks ago, and I wild carded because I thought I would lose more points by trying to maintain that team up until this point than I would do by losing out on 1 week. So the truth is, I'm going to have a bad week, but it's not like I have nothing. Like, I do have two Palace players. I have Dubravka playing. You're right, I do need to make some changes. So what I will probably do is take a hit and get rid of my Liverpool players because they don't have a double game week later. So I don't lose out that way. Yeah. Liverpool, they are playing. So Liverpool are playing Southampton, I shouldn't do that at all.
You might need to load up on Chelsea players because they're the only ones that are going to play the double in 30.
Yeah, you're right. They are the only team that's going to have a double game week later. I don't know. To be honest, I haven't really figured that out yet. The whole strategy was around kind of taking the hit on game week 33 because I knew that I was already going to have played my wild card. So I'm going to have a crap week next week, and I'm going to ride it.
Yeah, I've got a really rubbish week coming up next week. I've got five players currently playing, so it's just a case of how many hits I want to take, I think, for next week. That's the week we just accept they're going to lose points on everyone else who can field basically almost a full team. But it doesn't look like there's many juicy fixtures actually in game 33. So at the moment, I'm just about content if I can get a lead from this game week.
Yeah, the one thing I am looking at is Arsenal because they're obviously on form playing Everton next week, who have a chonky defence, although they seem to be coming back into form now. And they play double later. So do Everton, of course. So I don't know. But yeah, basically the answer to the question is I've accepted a bad week.
For my team and strategy going forward from here, you guys are saying you might kind of just write off game week 33. I'm going to be relying on game week 33. It seems to be the big differential. I thought that using a different strategy to you guys would be a differential, but it seems to be working out about the same. So it's all about 33 for me. I'm going to have a full team out. I've found out that actually Maguire, although he got a red card in the last fixture for me, is actually not going to miss game week 33, which is awesome.
Boo.
Yeah. So apart from a couple of niggling injuries, like Felipe Anderson, who I think might be back by then anyway, I should have a full 11. But as has been shown in all the blank game weeks so far, everyone gets crap scores this season in blank game weeks. So hopefully that works out well. If not, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be doing the same as you guys, wildcarding in 34. And it's been interesting because I haven't thought about it really up until today. You know, now we're putting together our bus teams now that double game week 32 is underway. And just thinking, you know, how good are these double game week fixtures? How good actually are they? Looking at them, they're not particularly enticing. And I've seen some drafts going around on Twitter of people's teams already. And, you know, Harry Kane playing against Man City away and then Brighton at home. I mean, it's tough. It's very similar to the Liverpool away game we've just seen in in play and not get any points in. So, yeah, I think it was Ben who said building the team in mind of the rest of the season, not just game week 34 and 35, is a really good shout. And then if you need to have some single game week players in there because of that, then so be it. So I think that's the way I'm going to go. But yeah, I just don't see anywhere really where our teams are going to diverge and I'm going to get that difference to catch up Matt and Gary at the top of our mini league or climb up my rank generally, because I think the wild cards look in 35 like everyone's going to have quite similar teams because the fixtures aren't great. So you're going to be limited to a few players, I think, which is a bit of a shame. But we'll get to that in a few game weeks time when we do our preview of that. Should we take a quick break and then when we come back, we can preview blank game week 33? Okay, we're back and we're talking blank game week 33. Matt, you're first up with Southampton Liverpool. What do you reckon to this one?
So Liverpool, having just watched them get that last minute goal against Spurs, do seem to be on that Premiership drive form, going for their title neck and neck with Man City. And so I fully expect them to beat Southampton, even though Southampton look quite good at the moment. So I thought if Liverpool start to drop off the pace, then maybe they'll focus on Champions League and their confidence will just get slightly hit and maybe they won't get a result away from home. But I think they're going to keep it up now, certainly for Southampton away. So I'd expect a Liverpool win. And in this week where the only big teams playing are Liverpool, Arsenal and Chelsea, I think it's a good one to have a fair few Liverpool assets.
Yeah, you've got to be tripled up on Liverpool, haven't you? Are there any Southampton players you considered? I know James Ward-Prowse has been a bit of an FPL darling recently, but can you see them getting past the Liverpool defence?
I mean, they might. Yeah, so Liverpool seem to be just conceding the odd goal here and there. So I could see like a Ward-Prowse or Redmond getting one. But I mean, I think Liverpool win. I don't know if they'll necessarily keep a clean sheet. I think the main considerations of this one is if you're going to load up on Liverpool, which I assume most people will be, which are like the two or three that you go for? And do you go for double defence or do you try and maximise an attack? And I'm leaning towards attack at the moment. I think Liverpool might just concede one, but people like Mane, Firmino and Salah are the ones to sort of go for, I think, in this particular blank game week.
We're kind of hamstrung slightly by, I guess, not a huge amount of people have used their free hit in 32, but a lot of the FPL community have. And either way, I think we're using kind of the teams we already have. So it's going to be just the one transfer here or there, isn't it? So you're saying basically, if you've got that one transfer and you've got a space, bring in a Liverpool attacker.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm talking personally about my own team. Like, I need to take a hit or two just to get like a reasonable team, which is not going to be a full 11, but just a reasonable team. And that means I need to make every transfer count. And so I'll be going for some as big hitter players as I possibly can. And players like Firmino and Salah and Mane are definitely one of the ones I'll be subbing in, I think, next week.
Nice. Next up, it's Bournemouth-Burnley, and this is one for me. This is a fixture that I think normally I would say, okay, this season, Bournemouth at home look great attacking. Burnley have struggled generally, so normally I would go with Bournemouth attackers on this one. But I think this point in the season, it makes sense to look at the league table and think about motivation. And I think Burnley are right in the thick of the relegation fight. They're just above Cardiff. They've played more games than Cardiff. So they're going to play this one and they're going to want to get even further ahead of them in terms of points. Whereas Bournemouth are safe, 12th position. And I think they can probably afford to take their foot off the gas slightly. So following on from Burnley's really big win against Wolves, 2-0, where Wolves were clearly taking it slightly easy because of the semi-final and the cut, I think there's a chance that Bournemouth might be taking this slightly easier. And Burnley, I don't think, do on the beach, even if they could. So I think they're going to be fired up for this one. And I think I think I'd be saying if you have a spare transfer, then I know Ashley Barnes hasn't hit the heights that people were hoping in these blank game weeks, but I think him or Chris Wood are good options, and Bournemouth's defence is not particularly good. They're still playing Mephram because of Steve Cook's injury. So I think, Mephram is an issue, and I think Dwight McNeil, we're going to come on to later, but I think he's on a really good run of form at the moment. He's got 2 goals and 2. He's really cheap if you don't have much budget, just 4.4 in the midfield. So he would be my pick for this game, really. Next up, it's Huddersfield-Leicester, and that's one for Ben.
Yeah, so Huddersfield officially relegated from the Premier League this week. So, and Leicester doing well under Brendan Rodgers. I think that's 3 wins in a row for them. So probably predicting a Leicester win. But at the same time, Huddersfield don't typically get thrashed anymore. They seem quite scrappy. So maybe like a 2-0, 2-1 win for Leicester. I'm considering bringing in Jamie Vardy for this game week. He looks kind of reinvigorated under Brendan Rodgers. I think he scored 5 goals in the last 5 games. So he's someone. I have Pereira left over from a long time ago, who managed to keep a clean sheet this game week because I didn't play him. So trolling me, but he's also pretty attacking along with I think Ben Chilwell on the other side. And then Tielemans looks a good pick as well. I don't think he's blanked in the last, let's see, he hasn't blanked in the last 5 game weeks, picking up the odd goal or assist. I think he's on set pieces. He's good at crossing. So he's also a pretty good shout at 6.0. So yeah, I think those are probably the players I would look at.
I think we have to shout out Gary, who has had a cameo on the pod this season already and is our kind of our mini league leader at the moment. I think I was very down on his pick of Tielemans and thought it was a funny one early in the season, but it, my God, has it worked out well for him. I think, you know, there's goals, there's assists, there's bonus points, and no one has him in his team apart from Gary so far as I've seen. So yeah, I think it's a great shout and he's on great form. So
yeah. And he also plays for the Dutch national team. I didn't know that either.
I thought he was Belgian.
Oh, he definitely starts for, I saw him start for one of the teams. Was it Belgium? Yeah. He starts with the Belgium team.
If it was Holland, then we should report that, I'm telling you.
I saw him playing for Belgium as well, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know he was an international either. I was like kind of shocked.
I thought he was really famous. Like, man, you were going to sign him ages ago and didn't. I guess he didn't make the scouting teams great, but he was talked about as like a wonder kid for a long time before he moved to Monaco. And I saw this this footage of him where he just was so far the best player on the pitch in the Belgian league whenever he played.
He played for Anderlecht. I remember him playing against Man U, and he looked really decent back then. Then he went to Monaco, and I think that was a decent transfer for him because it meant he got game time. And he played a bit in the World Cup as well, so I think he's a decent youth prospect that is coming good now. I was surprised to move to Leicester, basically.
Yeah, me too. That's how I thought about it.
All of us talking him up, whereas before we were laughing at Gary for bringing him in.
Yeah, I still thought he was a centre midfielder.
I wasn't on the pod when you were laughing. I wasn't there.
I still thought he was a centre midfielder, like a bit like Paul Scholes, something like that, who would never get any points because he just passed the ball around all day. But I'm surprised he seems to have quite an end product on him.
He does indeed. Next up, it's Andy with Newcastle Palace.
This is a really even game theoretically because Palace, I think, are probably a better team than Newcastle, but Newcastle are in really good form and are at home, which I think makes it a pretty tough one to call. I can see this one ending as like either a 1-1 or a 2-1 with a narrow goal deciding it either way. It really, I guess, might depend on whether Palace repeat their finishing from this week or whether they get better at that. But yeah, I think this is probably it. I wouldn't want to sort of put money on there being a clean sheet in this game necessarily, which is frustrating because I have Wan-Bissaka and Dubravka, but I'm not that confident of either team keeping a clean sheet in this game. I think I'm probably just about erring on the side of a Newcastle win based on them being on form and at home. Which means you'd be looking at players like Rondon and Perez to get the goals. They seem to be, they've both been on very good form recently. So that's what I picked from that side. From Palace, maybe another penalty from Milivojevic. Maybe a Zaha wonder goal, something like that would be the most likely sources of goals on that side. So I think that's probably my prediction. A score, both sides scoring, Newcastle marginally winning, and be judicious with your attacking players.
I think that's a really good shout. I think I've been looking at the league table and Palace are in 13th, Newcastle in 14th. So like you say, really even, 36 points and 35 points. They've also conceded 41 points and 40 points respectively. So pretty evenly matched. They've also lost a really similar number of games as well. So yeah, very difficult to call, but I think you're right going for the home team. Next up, it is Matt with Everton Arsenal. Matt, what do you reckon to that fixture?
This is before we've seen Arsenal play on Monday night, but they're going for the Champions League. So I was initially going to say that definitely an Arsenal win, but Everton are at home, so that's difficult for Arsenal. And they had a really good win against West Ham yesterday, so I think this one could be an entertaining game, and I'm not sure who's going to win it. So I think there's definitely goals in it. I'm not sure if either defence is particularly good at keeping clean sheets. And so from a fantasy perspective, I think just attacking assets and both teams stand a good chance of getting points in this game. And so, yeah, I think Arsenal might just nick it. But a good game potentially this one.
Funny how much difference a couple of weeks makes. You know, Everton were all over the place 3 weeks ago and then they beat Chelsea and they followed it up this week. So, you know, I think you're right. I think it's much more even than it would have been before. The home form before was pretty poor. They were one of the worst. But that's turned around now. So, yeah, goals, I think, is a good prediction.
I think another thing to point out with this game is that over two seasons now, Arsenal have had a very, very poor away record and made up a lot more points at home. So even sort of an Arsenal team that seems to be on good form, when it comes up against a good team in an away match, might struggle more than you would expect for a team that generally is as good as Arsenal is.
You're right that they're in good form. I think they're third or second in the form table, actually ahead of Liverpool in terms of form. So just second only to Man City. So maybe that says that we're underestimating them slightly. My big question for you, Matt, is a lot of people will have Aguero in their teams as a kind of placeholder for game week 32. But for game week 33, Man City don't play. So Aguero is going to be blanking. And there's a lot of budget tied up in there and people are going to want to get that budget on the pitch. Is Aubameyang a route that you consider? I mean, it's tricky because there's not really any other fixtures with a big hitter striker apart from Aubameyang, the Liverpool guys, but obviously, you know, people probably have them already, and maybe Higuain, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you always forget about Aubameyang because Larsson didn't play last game week. Then there's the international break, and they haven't played this game week yet at the time of recording. So he did score technically in the last time he played in the Premier League against United. So he's definitely a good one. I have personal feelings against him recently, having had him in my team for a really juicy run of fixtures, and he did absolutely nothing except for miss a penalty. I think that puts me off, even though I don't think I should be put off. I think actually that's a potentially really good transfer to do. And as you say, you get the money on the pitch with someone like Aubameyang, and he's had a great season. Lacazette and Mkhitaryan also been getting points recently, so Arsenal attacking players, if budget's not too much of a problem, is a good one, especially if you're going to wild card the week after, because it doesn't really matter. You just sort of get them for that one game.
Yeah, it just feels a bit weird bringing in maybe a 4.6 defender to shore up your team when you're leaving Aguero on your bench and you're not going to need him the next game week because you're wild carding anyway. So
you're dead right. Yeah, if you don't have a full 11, then you may as well play the players that get the most points per game. possible to try and make up the points.
The one thing with Aubameyang is though that there's been a bit of rotation recently for Arsenal where Lacazette has started. So I don't know. Although he's obviously one of their best players and you'd expect him to start, there's just that little like doubt in the back of your mind about whether or not he'll just show up with Lacazette instead and not start Aubameyang.
Yeah, the last two away games, Aubameyang has had 34 minutes and 0 minutes. So that's not a particularly good sign. I don't think that's been a big trend over the whole season, but I think you're right, Andy. In the recent away games, it has been a feature. So, yeah, but tricky. Maybe we watch the Arsenal-Newcastle game and try and draw some conclusions from that. Last up, it's Chelsea-West Ham, and this is one for me. I think until the last-minute turnaround against Cardiff, I was going to write Chelsea off and say that it was a mistake to bring in three of their players for double game week 32. And I should have stuck with my guns and thought, you know, they've been crap. Everyone hates Sarri. The fans were chanting, screw Sarri ball. And they were saying, we want Sarri out very loudly in the live game this weekend. And then it all turns round, and maybe that's enough to get them through this game against the defence who are all over the place, West Ham, and where, you know, if they do start with Hazard, he could have a field day at home. West Ham are also in that position with Bournemouth where they're safe, I think. Mid-table, very patchy form, you know, win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. And I think this is a game that they could just lose, not really turn up, and Chelsea don't have to do too much to win. I think the big question is, it's similar to the Aubameyang one, I think Hazard will start because he didn't start against Cardiff, but will Higuain start? And if he does start over Giroud, is he worth bringing in instead of Aguero or another big hitter that might not be playing? I'm going to throw that out to you guys. What do you reckon on Higuain?
Yeah, he's a difficult one, isn't he? Chelsea, you want to pick some of their players because their fixtures look so good, but there's not many Chelsea players that you want to pick. And Higuain is like a case in point where you know he's a good player, but he just hasn't been scoring recently. And even against a team that's maybe on the beach, like, I think most neutrals would say he should be playing Giroud right now, but he likes Higuain, so he's probably the guy who's going to play.
I would challenge the idea that their fixtures are so good, actually. After Brighton this week, which is too late to bring any of their players in for anyway, they've got West Ham, which could be easy, but then they've got Liverpool, Burnley, Man United, Watford and Leicester. That's their remaining teams. Leicester are on a high with the new manager. Watford are a difficult team to play against. Man U and Liverpool. And Burnley are in a relegation fight. Looking like they're going to survive it through grit. I don't think Chelsea's fixtures look particularly good for them.
No, I agree. They don't look good at all. But it's just the question, you know, game week 33 before a lot of people are wildcarding, are they worth a punt? Not particularly for the rest of the season. I know it's different with you, Andy. You have to consider it without a wild card. But if you did have one, would you be considering Higuain?
I wouldn't, just for this week? To be honest, no. I think I would consider Hazard. But my thinking is West Ham are just, you never know. They're in Paul Merson's word, they're a bag of rebels. You don't know what's going to show up. So I don't think it could be a really easy game, or it could be a really hard game that you just don't know. Chelsea look completely bereft of confidence at the moment, and obviously Hazard's natural talent and ability makes it likely that he'll do something, but I don't know. I don't think Higuain is he's getting like a chance a game and not really scoring very often. I would go for Arsenal players ahead of Chelsea players, even with the rotation risk.
Fair enough. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk whipping boys, gut punts, clean sheets, captains and transfers. Okay, we're back, and first up we're going to talk whipping boys. Matt, who do you think your whipping boys are for game week 33?
So I'm tempted to say West Ham, just because of the conversation we've just been having. I reckon they might be completely on the beach now, and Chelsea at home, who are still fighting for the fourth place. might put a couple of goals past them.
So that, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Ben, what about you?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I honestly don't see that many whipping boys. I did watch the West Ham game yesterday, and they were absolutely shocking. I thought Everton could have scored like 4 goals in the first half. But at the same time, Chelsea are also awful. So I might go... I think I'll just play it safe and say maybe Southampton.
Fair enough. Andy?
It's a really tough one, isn't it? I mean, it could be West Ham. It could be Huddersfield. First game after definitely being relegated, and a Brendan Rodgers attacking Leicester could put a few past them. I personally don't think it's going to be Southampton. I don't think Liverpool are going to put a lot of goals past them away. So one of Huddersfield and West Ham, I think, just to make it so that it's likely we're going to have consensus on West Ham.
Okay. I think it, like everyone said, it's tough. I think what I saw in the Chelsea-Cardiff game was that when Hazard came on, everything changed. Chelsea looked much more of a threat. And obviously, you know, Hazard didn't get any of goals or assists, but he had a big effect, and they turned that result around. So I think he's going to start against West Ham. And I think the slow kind of methodical pace that they were playing at, and they have played at under Sarri, is different when Hazard's up for it. So I think West Ham as well. I just think the Liverpool nerves were creeping in against Tottenham, and Alisson was looking edgy and everything. All the fans were quite edgy. So I think an away trip to Southampton could be tight rather than whipping boys. I think they'll win, but West Ham are our whipping boys then. What about gut punts? Matt, who's your gut punt for your blank game week 33?
So the gut punt has to be under 5%, which is a bit challenging. And there's not many teams to look around, but I'm going to go for Ozil at Arsenal. I'm gambling that he gets a match, and I'm gambling that there's goals in that game, so I'm going to go for Ozil.
Ozil in an away game against a North West team.
No, don't. He's chosen Ozil. Right. He can't change it.
It's too late.
Oh, I missed the inside knowledge on Arsenal and how they always fail at certain things.
I do know their weaknesses. Didn't Emery say that he wasn't playing Ozil in one game against Bournemouth because he thought they'd be too physical? And this is Bournemouth.
All right, might not be the best pick now, but there we go.
No, if he plays, it's a good pick. I should say, before we go through any more, an update on the tracking that Gary has done of our picks so far. So this is week 8 of our picks. So far, Matt is in top with 63 points. So that's a return of 7.8 points per game, which is incredibly high for a gut punt. So that's the pinnacle, 63 points up there, Matt. Matt, Gary, Andy, Ben, and then me right at the bottom with a points per game of 2. So Ozil is the man to listen to.
And so you've just been mocking me, eh? You've just been mocking me.
I have. Okay, next up, Ben, who's your gut punt?
Mine's going to come from the same game. I'm going to go for Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, someone always picks my bloody gut punt. Seriously.
Calvert-Lewin from Everton has nailed down the spot up front. So he started the last 5 games. He looks pretty good. He runs around a lot. He shoots a decent amount. He's displaced our pod favourite, Sektosin. So, yeah, I'm going to go Calvert-Lewin.
I think that's a good pick. And I think I just hope he stays in that Everton team because I think he deserves it. And Sektosin definitely does not.
So I think it's a good pick too.
Andy, I'm going to give you some time to think on your other pick. And I'm going to tell you mine. So I think I alluded to it already. I think this time of the season, it's all about motivation, which teams are still playing and which players are still motivated to score points. Or goals, as they would see it. I think Dwight McNeil at Burnley, and Burnley in general against Bournemouth. Dwight McNeil's on a great run of form. He's on a few different set pieces as well. 2 goals in 2. And I think he's going to want to cement his place in that team. He's a young guy. Goodmanson's in and out of the team. Brady's in and out with injury. So he's going to want to kick on from now until the end of the season. And they're also fighting relegation. So Dwight McNeil is my pick, and he is very lowly owned. So hopefully that gives me some bonus points. Andy, was that enough stalling?
Am I right in saying that Gary's got Youri Tielemans as his gut punt?
He has, yeah. He's doubled down on Tielemans.
Yes, I can't have him either. I'm just trying to find a player that actually has less than 5% and is playing next week and might score points. There aren't that many.
I think most of the Huddersfield squad's under 5%. If you're interested.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you, Matt.
No, you know what? After teams are officially relegated, they quite often turn things around and play for pride. And when the pressure's off, sometimes that can have an effect. And Pritchard did well for Matt earlier in the season.
Well, that is lovely, but I will not be picking any Huddersfield players as my gut punt. I'm going to go for Iosi Perez against Crystal Palace. He's been on pretty good form recently. Along with his form seems to have gone along with the team. He got 16 points against Everton not that long ago. He's a regular starter in an attacking position for an unformed team. And it's the kind of game where a sort of scrappy goal, the kind that he often scores, might be the decider. So, and actually, before I'm just going to check what Rondon's team selected by is. It's 7.9, so I can't have Rondon. So I'm going to go for Perez.
I think that's a solid pick. It didn't work out for me a couple of weeks ago, but I think end of the season, Perez is a solid pick. Okay, clean sheets. Matt, I'm going to come to you first for your first clean sheet.
So I'm going to go pick on West Ham again, I think, because if they're on the beach and Chelsea are at home, then I think Chelsea's had a good chance of keeping a clean sheet.
So you're picking West Ham?
I'm picking Chelsea to keep the clean sheet against West Ham.
Fair enough. Okay. Ben, what about you?
Liverpool,
nice and safe. Andy?
Burnley, maybe?
Burnley, okay. I'm not sure about that one, but fair enough.
I'm not confident. I think I've kind of run out.
I'm going to go for Leicester against Huddersfield because I think Huddersfield struggled to score, and I've got two Leicester defenders in my team, so I'm backing them in my team as well as in my picks. Matt, back to you.
Yeah, I think I'm done. I think Newcastle and Palace might both might score, so I think it'd be dodgy to pick a clean sheet there.
Yeah. Even though Crystal Palace's finishing was terrible, you were saying, against Huddersfield?
It was terrible, but they still had enough chances to get two goals because Zaha eventually will fall over in the air and Millie will get a penalty.
Ben, can you see any more?
Not really.
Okay, we'll leave it there. So that's four clean sheets potential there, we're predicting. Okay, captains and transfers. Matt, I'm going to come to you first.
So my team's a bit of a mess, really, and I have to transfer in the team and my captains for next week. So at the moment, I was eyeing up Hazard, Salah, Mane, and maybe someone like an Aubameyang or Lacazette. But I haven't made my mind up yet because I need to watch the rest of the fixtures for this game week. So I'll be taking it probably a hit or two just to field a really decent team, as decent a team as I can muster. And then I'll be captaining one of those big hitters.
Without hits, how many players will you have?
5.
Oof.
Wow.
That's bad.
That's not good. Wow. It's not good.
So that's free transfer.
A bigger pun?
So you've got 4 without the free transfer.
I know. So I've got so I could get 6 without a hit.
Fingers crossed. It's all about game week 33. Okay, Ben, how about you?
So I currently have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I can field 8 players without any transfers.
Nice.
So they're all starting. I'm probably going to get Mane in for sure against his old team, Southampton. I think I may get Salah. I know he didn't score that last minute goal, but it might be good for his confidence. And then up front, I think I may go Jamie Vardy. So that would be that would be a -8 to field 11 players. Unless like Arsenal or Aubameyang shows me something amazing on Monday. I think that's what I'll do. And I'm tempted by captaining Mane against his old club because I can see him scoring and not celebrating, you know, when they do that. So that's what I might go
for. Yeah. I've got a similar thought. I could, when I was thinking, is it Salah, is it Mane? Well, it's player against the old club. So yeah, that's a good shout then. Andy, how about you?
So I'm in the same boat as Matt. I have 5 with no transfers, so 6 with my free transfer with no hits, which means that every transfer I'm looking at, I'm kind of looking at as though, do I think it's likely that the person I'm bringing in is going to score at least 5 points in the next game week? Otherwise, it's not worth it because the same players that have a missed game week now are going to have double game weeks later because they're all playing in the teams that are still in the competitions. So I'm not really seeing very much at the moment. The one transfer I definitely want to make is that Heung-min Son's reign of terror seems to have ended. And so I'm looking at bringing in Gylfi Sigurdsson for him because Gylfi's playing next week against a shonky defence. And I think is likely to... He's on good form. Everton seems to be making a strong end to the season. I'm also looking at... I have a theory that it's kind of the time when Wolves will look to wind down as well. I mentioned this in a previous pod because they're going to focus on the cups. And because they traditionally have done well against the bigger sides and they don't have Arsenal at home and Liverpool away remaining of those big games. So, yeah, I think possibly it's time to start winding down on your Wolves players. So I'm also looking at removing Jota or Doherty. I'll probably remove... If it's Doherty, then I would bring in another Liverpool defender. So we tripled up on Liverpool defenders, which seems like a good strategy, I think. I know you guys have mentioned earlier that they seem to be conceding one goal at a time, but I don't really trust any of their attackers enough to put them in. So I might triple up on Liverpool defenders. If I lose Jota, it might be for Tielemans, so I can copy Gary. It might be for Maddison to not copy Gary, but still have a Leicester attacking midfielder, one of those two, I think. So what I do with those players will have a big impact on who my captain is. At the moment, I'm looking at Robertson maybe as my captain, hoping for a clean sheet and assist. That would be a really good outcome for that week. I think few people will be captaining Robertson, so possibly a good differential. Otherwise, it might be Sigurdsson or it might be Madison.
I like that captaincy pick of Robertson. I think that's a good shout. I think it might be a good game week for captaining a defender. And Liverpool have got the best ones. So, yeah, I like that. It is tricky without a wild card, like you were saying. I think definitely planning your transfer that you do have, or a couple of transfers if you take a hit around your captaincy, is a good one. So maybe you don't need to, if you're going to captain Robinson, you don't need to do too much.
Yeah, it's just getting players on the pitch, right? So there's that 4 points. Because, like I say, it's going to impact the rest of my season as well. Like I've got to make sure that I'm really, really sure that any player that I bring in is going to get at least 4 points, which, looking at the fixtures, I'm not that sure with any of them, really.
Yeah, fair enough. With me, I've built for the blanks, so I've got enough players at the moment if Felipe Anderson recovers in time. I think even if he doesn't, maybe he's a good player to get rid of because he's in and out of the team at the moment and he's kind of off form as well. But I also think that would be a kind of stupid strategy. I think maybe he'd be better as a first sub, and getting rid of one of Doherty, Aguero or Bennett is a much better strategy because they're the three on my bench without a fixture at the moment. So, yeah, trying to pick between them. Probably makes sense to get rid of Aguero the most out of them, getting a heavy hit striker, and whether that's Higuain or Aubameyang or Lacazette, or even, you know, just putting my eggs in Rondon or backing myself with the Burnley attack with having Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes. But it just seems like a week where you can do something a bit punty and it's not going to damage your team long term. So, yeah, that's probably where I'm going to be going. And captain, I think I talked about it before. I like the idea of Mane, but yeah, I'll keep an eye on the fixtures. I do like Andy's Robertson shouts and maybe an Alexander Arnold captaincy with him on all those set pieces at the moment. I think that's it from us, unless anyone has anything else they want to shout about. If you don't follow us already on Twitter, we're at FBLFFFanatics. Get in touch with us on there. It'd be great to hear from you guys. Apart from that, I think it's time to say goodwell. Say goodbye.
Goodwell. Goodwell to you, Duncan.
Goodwell. It's been a long day. Matt, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Come on for an Aguero chip in midweek.
Say goodwell, Ben.
Goodwell. I'm also hoping Aguero recovers from his potential injury.
Say goodwell, Andy.
Goodwell. I'm hoping not only that Aguero doesn't recover, but also that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is struck down with some unforeseen illness and prevents him from playing next week.
So that Cenk Tosun can play in his place.
And miss all of his chances. But more so that I don't lose out from not being able to pick him as my gut punt, because I'm fuming that yet again my gut punt has been chosen by somebody else.
Nice one. See you guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.